with us this morning for worship. If you worship with us regularly, it's always a joy to share this time with you. But if today is your first day with us, know that we are especially glad that you have chosen to be here this morning. We hope that you feel welcome and invited. There is a Connect card in your bulletin, and if each of you will take time at some point in the service to go ahead and rip that out. If you come regularly, you should give us your name and your email. That's plenty. And if this is your first time here, or if you're relatively new to Trinity, we just appreciate as much information as you're willing to share with us. And you'll have an opportunity to put that in the offering plate later in the service. In Lamentations, we hear the good news that God's love is unfailing and His mercies are new each and every morning. And yet, if you came through the doors this morning and that news seems hard to fully embrace, Christian author James Finley has this to offer you. To those who stand outside the door, reading one more book about how to open the door, yet the longings of your heart remain. Let today be the day that you open wide the door of your heart to the God whose heart for all eternity is always open to you. May we open wide our hearts this morning to receive God's unfailing love and to receive His mercy for our needs. And with that in mind, I say to you, welcome home. Will you take a moment to greet those around you and make sure to say hello to someone you don't know this morning?
Good morning. Will you join me as we continue our worship together?
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. From thy ancient churches, glory, bring them unto glorious song. Grant us wisdom, grant us mercy.
grace and God of glory, indeed we pray you pour your Spirit's power on us as we gather here this morning to worship you. Open our hearts and minds to all that you have revealed to us during this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And would you please affirm our faith together using this modern affirmation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. As we move into a time of prayer this morning, I invite you to remember to lift up those who you'll find printed on the screen, and also other concerns and joys that you have on your hearts this morning. We remember particularly those who have experienced disasters, flooding, rains, hurricanes, and other disasters as of late, and we invite you to continue to remember them in your prayers, and we are grateful that all of you have made it through this weekend, and everyone is recovering well. So let me invite you to bow your heads and spend a few moments in silent prayer before I pray for us together this morning. Gracious and loving God, we gather here today to worship you. We come together and give you thanks for sunshine and for rain, for labor and for rest, for family and friends, for community and connection, and for solitude and contentment. Of all the blessings we have received from your hand, most precious is knowing the joy of trusting in you. As we worship this morning in this sacred space, may we glimpse again your image deep within us. May we catch sight of who you have created us to be and see the strength and beauty of your likeness in each one of us. We also come aware of our own weaknesses and the distortions and hiddenness of our lives. So this morning, help us to set aside all pretense and shame come to worship mindful of the needs of others as well. We remember the hungry, the friendless, the homeless, and the hopeless. We pray for all our brothers and sisters, and particularly we pray for those who have been the victims of earthquakes in Italy, of flooding in Louisiana, and of hurricanes and storms sweeping up the eastern coast in the last 2 days. We pray for those who have been forced out of their homes and feel helpless and overwhelmed. We pray for all of those in need of healing, who are bound by forces beyond their control. And when we leave this place today, oh God, we pray that your wisdom may be seen in our decisions. Your peace may be captured in our attitudes. And your love revealed by the way we live in this world. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let me invite the ushers to come forward, and as they're coming forward, I remind you this is the opportunity for us to give back to God just a portion of all that God has given to us as we offer up our tithes and offerings. So I invite you now to pray with me. Holy God, we do give you thanks for the many gifts that you have given to us. We know that every good and perfect gift flows down from you, O God, creator of heaven and earth. And now we pray that you would bless and multiply these gifts, that they might be used to bring glory to your name, to share good news with the poor and release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, as we, through your church here in Trinity, spread the good news to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
episodes from the life of Jesus to help us get to know more about the different aspects of his ministry as he came to live life among us. We have been looking at these episodes from the Gospel of Luke, and today's lesson comes from the 8th chapter. You can find it in your Bibles in chapter 8, or if you'd like to look at the screen as I read this, read along, feel free to do that. Hear now these words. Jesus and his disciples sailed to the Gerasenes land, which is across the lake from Galilee. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, a certain man met him. The man was from the city and was possessed by demons. For a long time, he had lived among the tombs, naked and homeless. When he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down before him. Then he shouted, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." He said this because Jesus had already commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had taken possession of him, so he would be bound with leg irons and chains and placed under guard. But he would break his restraints, and the demon would force him into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had entered him. They pleaded with him not to order them to go back into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. Jesus gave them permission, and the demons left the man and entered the pigs. The herd rushed down the cliff, into the lake, and drowned. When those who tended the pigs saw what happened, they ran away and told the story in the city and in the countryside. People came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully dressed and completely sane. They were filled with awe. Those people who had actually seen what had happened told them how the demon-possessed man had been delivered. Then everyone gathered from the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave their area because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and returned across the lake. The man from whom the demons had gone begged to come along with Jesus as one of his disciples. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell the story of what God has done for you." So he went throughout the city, proclaiming what Jesus had done. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. We pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. It was my first day on assignment. I had gone through my orientation, but today would be the first day that I went to the unit to which I had been assigned to work with persons as a chaplain at a facility that cared for persons with profound disabilities. This was the late 80s. Catherine and I were living in Atlanta, Georgia, and we both, as a part of our seminary experience, were doing something called supervised ministry, a learning tool for us. And our supervised ministry settings were in this facility. And so I went eager to see what was ahead of me. And I remember walking onto the unit to which I was assigned that first day. And as soon as I came onto the unit and began to look around, one of the nurses, as I began to walk the floor, said, "Watch out for Jimmy." Jimmy was a young man on this unit that was all non-ambulatory.
residents who could not walk, and many of whom had a complexity of disabilities. Jimmy was a young man who was known to have violent tendencies. While he could not walk, he packed a pretty good punch in his right arm. And he was known to have hit other residents and to have hit nurses, to lash out and to catch people by surprise if they got too close to him from time to time. He was also known to be loud and boisterous, to yell out at times, and to be very disruptive on that unit. And so I took the note of caution from the nurse well, and for the first couple of times I went on that unit, I will be honest with you, I was a little nervous about Jimmy. And so I said hello to Jimmy, but I kept my distance from him. And then after I'd been there a couple of weeks, on one week when I went to my assignment, we took the residents to the music room, where they had the opportunity to listen and play and sing music. At the beginning, Jimmy was his usual self, what I had grown accustomed to on the unit. And then when the accompanist there began playing a hymn, something changed. For the first time, I saw Jimmy's demeanor soften. I took note of that. And the next time when I went back to the unit, I decided I would try a different approach with Jimmy. So that day, instead of just calling out to him from afar, I decided I would risk getting a little closer to Jimmy. And as I approached him, I began to sing. Today, in our scripture passage, Jesus encounters a man who is not himself. He, the scripture tells us, has for many years been possessed by demons. And Jesus comes to meet him in that place. You know, Jimmy, in another time and place, might have been described as a demon-possessed young man, a man whose circumstances could not be explained by what people knew of the world at the time, and yet deep inside there was a Jimmy that was longing to get out, a Jimmy longing to be known. This story of this man is of one who has demons who have kept the real man locked inside for far too long. Now, there's a danger with a story like the one we read today that we will dismiss it all too quickly as having no relevance for us. After all, the language of demons sounds like something from long, long ago, or something that is a story about some man back 2,000 years ago, or perhaps a story that for some even sounds a little far-fetched. And so there's a risk that we will dismiss this story as having nothing to do with us. I would remind you that every story in Scripture has something to do with us. And if we will listen closely enough, we will always be able to encounter a word for our lives as we look at the pages of Scripture. And so this morning I want to invite you to reimagine demons as those forces or tendencies tendencies that keep our real selves from being revealed. Those tendencies or those habits or those ways of living that push our authentic selves into hiding. If we do that, we just may be able to hear today's story in a different way. We may even find ourselves in the story. The scripture tells us that Jesus travels to the Gerasenes land to encounter this. And if there we go, if we can get the scripture up, thank you, so you all can see as we walk through this again this morning. Now, the Gerasenes land in today's translation is identified as across the lake from Galilee. The Greek word that is used there is antiperi, a word that anti means opposite, over against, opposite of. And so in the very beginning of this story, Luke is telling us that Jesus is traveling to a place that is opposite of where he has come from. In other words, Luke might say, Toto, we are not in Galilee anymore. We have traveled to a foreign place. And when Jesus gets out of the boat in that place, this man who has been possessed by demons for years and years comes rushing toward him. Now, this is one of the things that demons do. Demons rush to get the first word in. They get out in front of us, in front of our authentic selves, and they run identity security. They like to keep our authentic selves hidden back in the background, and so they put up a firewall, a cover, in order to protect from the real self being known and lived. So the demons rush out to speak first to Jesus. These demons that have kept the man, as Luke tells us, living among the tombs. Another thing that demons do, they suck the life right out. And so the demons rush out and they speak and they want to know what Jesus is going to do with them. Please don't torment me, they say. And I imagine Jesus maintaining his composure. He's already seen a lot by now. Imagine him looking at that man and recognizing that it is the demon speaking and not the real man underneath. And he says those words, "What is your name?" Or perhaps he says it this way. You know, inflection can make a lot of difference in the way we say something. Perhaps he says, "And what is your name?" Knowing that it's not the real man talking at that moment. What is your name? If we are to get to the point of living authentically, the first step will be naming the demons that try to keep us from doing so. Mine, at least a couple that I'm aware of, go by the names Mr. Perfect and Nice Guy. These are the demons that threaten to keep the real Steve hidden in the background. Now, it's not that trying to do your best and being nice to people are bad things. But when trying to do your best becomes maintaining all efforts to keep anybody knowing from any flaws that you have, and when being nice means that you're not willing to be honest with people sometimes when you need to say a more difficult thing, then the demons have rushed to the forefront and have pushed the authentic self into the darkness. If Jesus were to ask you this morning the names of your demons, what would you say? For some of you, the names of the demons might be some of these. And again, these first ones that I'll mention are some that in and of themselves may not sound that bad, but taken to an extreme, push the authentic self into the background. So might some of your demons go by the names Powerful, Mr. Fix-It or Ms. Fix-It, Rescuer, Sage, Carefree, Busy. That's a good one, isn't it? Victim, Lone Ranger, Addict, Chauvinist, Racist, Popular. When Jesus says to the demons, "What is your name?" the response is an honest one, even though it doesn't identify anything in particular. The response is honest. The demons say, "Legion," because there are many, which is also the case for some of us. And then the demons ask permission to enter a herd of pigs that are there on the hillside. They do not want to go back into the abyss. And so they ask permission in this odd part of the story to go into the pigs. And Luke tells us that Jesus grants them that request. And as soon as the demons have entered the pigs rush down the hillside and into the water. And we would do well to remember at this point in the story that in those days, water was understood to be the one place where an authoritative figure, a god, would not have control over demons. And yet, just prior to this in the Gospel of Luke, we read the encounter of Jesus meeting the disciples in the midst of a storm. Where? On the sea. And Jesus calms the waves. So even in the demons rushing into the water, we know from the context of the story that there is nowhere, and even this is not a place, beyond the authority of Jesus. One person talks about this part of the story by saying that this is the first account that we have in history of deviled hands. So, if you didn't get that, it's a little early, I understand. So, what happens next? The swineherd, the ones who take care of the pigs, run off to tell people in the land what has just happened. They cannot believe their eyes. And they go and they tell folks, and people come back. And when they arrive, what do they find? The man, who earlier in the passage was described as naked and homeless, is now opposite. He is fully clothed, and he is completely sane. Now, I don't know about you, but at this point in the story, I would think that this would be cause for celebration, right? I mean, this man who for many years has been tormented by these demons is now free, and he is himself again. Wouldn't the whole community want to throw a party for him? And yet what we hear is this. They are initially filled with awe. Shock might be another word there. Maybe some wonder. But then that quickly shifts. In light of what Jesus has just done for this man, the community doesn't decide to throw a party. They instead decide to throw Jesus out of town. Please leave us alone. One author says this, odd as it may sound, we often prefer the demons we know to the freedom we do not. Sometimes it is safer, or least it feels safer, to live in the shadow of the demons than to allow Jesus to not only set others free, but to set us free from the things that are binding us. And so they run Jesus out of town. I couldn't help but think of John Wesley this week as I read that part of the story. John Wesley knew what it meant to get run out of town in the early days of the Methodist movement because he was doing things differently. He was going out to places that were opposite the church, the Anglican church in those days, in order to share the good news with others. Here is an excerpt from just one small section of his journal. Sunday morning, May 5th, preached in St. Anne's. Was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday evening, May 5th, preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday morning, May 12th, the following week, preached at St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday evening, May 12th, preached at St. George's. Kicked out again. Sunday morning, May 19th, preached at St. somebody else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday evening, May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. This is one of my favorites. Sunday morning, May 26th, preached out in a meadow, chased out of meadow when a bull was turned loose during the service. Imagine having a month like that. I mean, it would be enough to make you give up, wouldn't it? But Wesley was persistent. He knew the power that the gospel of Jesus Christ had to liberate people who needed it. So he continues. June 2nd, morning of June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. And then this. Sunday evening, June 2nd, afternoon service, preached in pasture. 10,000 people came. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to liberate. And so Jesus keeps on pursuing us. And thank goodness for those like John Wesley who bear witness and keep telling the good news. Well, at the end of the story, after the people have told Jesus to get out of town, the man can probably see the signs and thinks, well, if that's what they want Jesus to do, and if they got all concerned about him healing me, then things may not be looking very good for me in this town either. And so he begs Jesus to go with him. And perhaps we would expect Jesus to say, well, of course, son, come on. I'd love to have you join me as a disciple. Instead, Jesus needs a disciple. Jesus needs a witness that will stay right there in that community. Jesus needs that man to share his story so that perhaps others will begin to hear and respond as they hear it. So Jesus says, go home. Because the power of the witness of those who have been set free is an awesome thing. This morning, we are going to end the time of the message with an opportunity for you to do something tangible to indicate your desire to be free of whatever demon it is that is trying to keep your real self hidden in the background. Now, nobody has to do this. You may not want to do this. You may be very uncomfortable doing this. You may feel like you don't need to do this. Maybe it's not a demon right now that you want to recognize, but maybe it's one that you remember from your past that, as a sign of the freedom that Jesus brought from that, you want to participate in this. If you want, just a moment after I pray, I'd like to invite anyone who feels led to simply get up from your seat when you would like to and walk to any one of those cots and pick up one of those stones in your heart and in your mind. Call that demon by name and drop the stone into the abyss of the water as a sign of the power of Christ to be at work in you, setting you free. So as we prepare to do that, let me invite you to pray. Holy God, it is you who created us, and you created us good, and you created us in your image, and you created us to live real and authentic lives. Free us from the demons that try to push us into the background. Free us from the demons that hide our true selves from others and from you. And having been freed,
And when we come to this table, we receive. Our only part is to come, and Christ does the rest. And so it is with that that I offer you these words. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God. I'd like to invite those who will be serving communion with us to come forward now to the rail and we'll bring the elements to you. That we will share off from you, and you can dip it in a cup and then return to your seat by the left. Or you can come and you can pray at the rail. We do have gluten free things, and so just ask, it'll be in these two sections right here and out there. But all is ready, so we invite you to come.
with joy, let's sing together our closing.
As you go out today, I want you to know that there is an opportunity with the mission boxes to bring hope and light to some folks who have experienced demons of their own as survivors of domestic violence. So our mission box for today is for Peaceful Paths. Those boxes are located as you exit on your way out this morning. Now, as we go, may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God,